today on Real Radio.
Small cell groups that will pray for each other, exchange prayer requests weekly, get together and go over the Sunday sermon in a midweek home fellowship and do the fellowshipping together and praying together. You know why? There's hostile days ahead. And you're going to need friends.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Godly Freedom, continues in a series now entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 5 today, verses 13 through 15. We cannot be saved from our sins just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 tells us that we, as Christ followers, have been called to liberty, but we're not to use our freedom to indulge in our sinful nature. Instead, we're to serve one another in love. The entire law can be summed up in a single command, and that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we keep on devouring each other, it stands to reason that we may destroy each other. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that a church is recognized by its love. So let's get to know each other and share each other's burdens. Love happens when we pray for each other, and doing that love, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And now continuing his lesson called A Godly Freedom, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can you mark that? Can you just circle that for a second? This is important because it is every bit of any attempt to legalize yourself before God. You want to fulfill the law, you got to love. Now, when he says in verse 13, for you brethren have been called to this liberty, look what he goes on to say. Only, he issues a warning, only do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Then he announces in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in this one thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole issue is about love. It's not who can preach the longest or the hardest or the fastest, the most serious or the most funniest or whatever. It's not that. It's not how many churches you can plant around the world. It has nothing to do with that. What shall it profit this church if it gains the whole world and yet loses its own soul in this area of love? You know, there's people attending here that live, at least I've heard this is true. There are people attending this church who go to one service and a neighbor of theirs goes to another service and they've been going to the same church for 2 years and they didn't even know it. And they're probably, there goes those people. I don't know where they're going. I don't either. But they were going to different services. There they go. I wonder where they go. I don't know. Anyway, let's go. They were going to the same church here. Different service. Didn't even know it. The amazing thing about who we are, we've been called to love each other. Paul is warning the Galatian believers, legalism stifles love. It kills it every time. Legalism looks down at you when you have fallen down on the street and you're bleeding and you can't get up. Legalism says, come on, come on, suck it up. Come on, you can do it. Just pull yourself up. Come on, stand up. Well, my legs are broke. Oh, don't confess that. Just stand up. You look pretty mangled. We better call for some help. That's what legalism does. Legalism sees somebody broken along the road and says, somebody better call the ambulance, and walks on their way. Isn't that what happened on the road to Jericho when Jesus was speaking about the man who was overcome by thieves and robbers? All the religious people, the legalists, the ones who knew the book, they walked by the man. Look at that scum guy. He's filthy. He's a bum. I'm not going to touch him. I might defile myself. And then they walked away. Then Jesus said, this did not go over well. He said, then a Samaritan came by. You don't tell that to Jewish people. It's not a good thing. Jesus is stirring up the pot. and the whole context is about love and about doing the will of God. It's not talking about it. I can stand up here every Sunday and yap on until the cows come home. But do I love you? That's where it's going to show. Do I love my kids? I would hope if you ask my kids, do you know your dad loves you? I'd hope they say that. Husbands, do you love your wives? Can your wife say it? What about the other way around? Kids, do you love your parents? They're doing the best they can, I hope, I trust. But Paul says, okay, look, you guys want to get legalistic. If you want to listen to these Judaizers that have come in and said, okay, you got to start all over to fulfill the entire law of God, if you want to do that, here's the deal. It's a spiritual thing, my friend. It's to love one another. That's how it works. Galatian believers, this church, love each other. Yeah, that means these over here, you got to find out who these are. I hope we're working on, in about 6 months' time, 6 months in ministry, 6 months is like 3 days away from now. You know how fast time goes? But I'm shooting for 6 months from now to create, I hope, at least 100 small groups of 12 to 15 people. Small cell groups that will pray for each other, exchange prayer requests weekly, get together and go over the Sunday sermon in a midweek home fellowship and do the fellowshipping together and praying together. You know why? There's hostile days ahead. And you're going to need friends. And we can't let this church get big. Okay? Honestly. We can keep it small. We can keep it down to 12 to 15 people that love one another, that knows, you know what? Man, I sprained my knee when I was getting out of my car. I can't believe it. This is ridiculous. Hey, we're going to be praying for you. We'll see you Thursday night. All right, see ya. We'll be praying for you. Hey, what was meant in that message when Pastor Jack said on point number one that this, well, let's discuss that. Oh, man, that's where growth happens. Loving one another. Hey, I'm going to have surgery. I'm not going to have surgery. Lord willing, I'm not going to have surgery. I don't plan on it, but somebody announces, I'm going to have surgery. Well, who's going to mow your lawn? Oh, I'll mow his lawn. This guy will say, I'll take out his trash. She says, I'll get the cookies. When you have surgery, cookies, that's a big deal. Love. We're just going to sit here and be a big church. I want to come in, go out. Don't I know anybody? Don't want anybody touching me. Holding hands thing and praying thing. Come on. Be careful. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Listen, it literally says in verse 15, but if you bite and devour, doesn't that sound painful? Gee whiz. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I wish I had it on video. It was one of the most classic statements I've ever heard. It was beautiful. You had to have been there. At least I was watching the news. And there was a judge who since, because of the illegalness of the process, removed himself from the bench. But he stood for righteousness, this man did. David says, I'd like to say one more thing in defense of my client. I love what that judge said. His glasses were sitting way down on his nose, and he was a down South Florida boy. And he's looking, nothing impressed him anymore, not this $50 million a year attorney, nothing impressed him. He's sitting there, and he goes, listening to you is like getting nibbled to death by a duck. When Christians chew on other Christians, It's a horrible death. It's a terrible thing. Did you hear what she said? Hey, I heard that he now is, you're biting and devouring one another. You think it's all done? You think it just comes out of your mouth and it's over? Scientists tell us that sound waves travel not only miles, but for days. They're developing technologies to pick up sound waves that quite possibly have traveled for years. Isn't it interesting to think that what's coming out of our mouths continues on? Oof. Or hallelujah. Hallelujahs can continue on forever. It's our choice. For with our mouth we will do to what brings honor and glory to God, or we'll pull out our tongue like James says, and you'll cut somebody right in half. And he says, how can this be? You come into church, you worship God, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you step outside of church, you pull out your tongue, and you cut your neighbor right in half. That can't happen. 1 John chapter 3, a little bit to the right. Now, I know that there have been a lot of people this year saved in this church. In an easy estimate would be 500 plus people, I'm certain. But I know that this church has grown more than 500 people in this last year, which means you've come from some other church. And that happens, and God is in that many times. And by the way, sometimes it is the will of God that people outgrow churches. There's a time when you may outgrow this church, and you've got to go to another church that will minister to you because you're just bored here now. Or God will call you on because he wants you to minister at that church with what you've learned here. Or you've come because you've learned enough at that other place and the Lord sent you here because of the need of the ministry that is before us here. There's all kinds of dynamic to it. Nothing to get all wiggy about it. Pastors get wiggy about that. They get all crybaby about it. Makes me laugh. When you're in the thing, they don't come here anymore. Well, they're not in a cult, are they? Oh, no, they just go to his church. Praise the Lord. It's not a cult, is it? No. Preaching the word? Yeah. Hey, hallelujah. Think about it. Well, Pastor Jack, are you sad when somebody goes? It depends on who they are. No, for what reason? Well, the Lord's sending us. Oh, we're going to go be good. Hey, awesome. The kingdom grows that way. What are you going to do? We're going to build up some kind of a big wall with a moat around it? You can't leave. That is not going to happen. You can't do that. But you know what? The greatest thing is that for at least one or two Christians in this room begins to love one another around them. That's how it happens. These guys over here, Rob, he starts loving around those guys that are over there, and it starts happening over here, and Dan, it starts happening here, and Roger, it starts happening here. He just kind of starts to spread. They start loving each other. Hey, what are you doing Saturday morning? Let's get together. Just take an hour. I know our lives are busy. Let's just take an hour. Just have some coffee. Do something radical. Start to love one another. Watch what happens. Get out there. Watch what takes place. You know what's going to happen? The church is going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. So deep. I don't care how wide. Deep. And the depth of a church, as Spurgeon says, is recognized by its love. 19 years old, pastored a church of 10,000 people. And his greatest passion was that his church would love. His big burden was that his church was growing and they didn't know one another. We're a freckle in comparison. And yet there's people here who don't know each other. You know what? If we begin to know one another, we won't devour one another with our mouths. If somebody says, hey, did you hear about Karen? Wait a minute. Do I need to know about Karen? Does anybody have any of that kind of integrity left anymore anyway? Are there any gentlemen left? Hey, did you hear about Mary? I don't know. Do I need to hear about Mary? What do you know about Mary? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? What are you repeating it for? It's okay. Wait a minute. You think God's going to let that slide? 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. I'm going to ask the worship group to come on up as we read this because I'm way over. 1 John 3:13, do not marvel. Put your jaw back up, Paul would say. Your mouth's hanging open, my brethren. Don't be shocked. Don't be flabbergasted if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Class, do we love each other? Well, listen to what he says in no uncertain terms. It's because we love the brethren. He who does not love his Christian brother or sister abides in death. That means he doesn't know the Lord. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer will inherit eternal life and has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, things... Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. Stop talking about it, he says, but do it, show it, live it in deed and in truth. What good will it do our neighbor in this church if she says, as I just spoke in between services with a 13-year-old girl who's going in for her second open-heart surgery. What do you do? Oh, wow, that's a shame. What? How about, can I pray for you? What's your name? Are you on the prayer chain? When will it happen? What's going on? And before it does, you know what? Let's just stop right here, right now, in the middle of second service and third service, changing parking lots. Let's pray now that God would not only touch the physicians, but first of all, the physicians wouldn't be needed. We're so quick to pray for the doctors. God bless them. But why don't we just ask the doctor if he'll just do it? Lord, we ask you to heal her now in Jesus' name. We know you'd do it, Lord. And if you want to do it here, amen. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Loving one another. You probably think this is a joke. It's no joke at all. And then I'm done. We should pick up the phone and call this church that is inundated with phone calls, with elderly people. I have no way to get to the mall. I have to get this thing for my driver's license thing. If it's not, I can't. And I have no way to go. So you know what? We can't find somebody. We got to take paid staff that's busy getting something ready for Sunday, and we got to send them to go take care of it. This is not ministry. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't that what we pay you for? No. It has nothing to do with it. We're Christians. Call the church and say, you know, how can I love somebody else in the church? I had a student from Biola University say, hey, I got the summer off. I'm calling your church. I'm asking, listen, this is a freshman. I think he's a freshman at Biola. And he says, hey, I'm looking for someone, a man, to be accountable to this summer. I got time. I want to walk right with God. That came to my ear. I talked to that boy. And then I'm scrambling. Name. I need a name. I got to find somebody. You know what? Honestly, come on. We should be like, here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. Please don't think it's not getting done here. It is. You should see the army that cleans this church. It's so cool. And they bring their families, their kids. What a witness they're presenting to their children. There's a woman, young girl, she cleans the baseboards. All the time I see her on her knees cleaning the baseboards. I can't walk by her without feeling like I must get on my knees and go by her and then stand up and walk by her. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
How can I walk by her? when I see her doing that, she's got her spray bottle, she's just doing her thing. She's loving it. She's just doing it. And I say, God, bless that girl. I don't even know her name. And if you're here, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. God, bless that girl so much that people will say, why is your life blessed so much? And she can just say, I don't know, God is just good. He's just good. And the world needs hope. And the only way they're going to see it is through people who love. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it. Lest we be found to be hypocrites and miss the kingdom of heaven altogether by 18 inches because what was in our head never made it into our hearts and never flowed through our hands and our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. It is enough. It is a lamp. It is a light. Lord, you have well lit the way. And God, this morning we are all so deficient. We confess that. When it says here to love our neighbor, we can't do that without you. We may not even like our neighbor. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you'd put it within our hearts, your Holy Spirit's power and passion to not only love the brethren, but that our enemies might be the most blessed people in all the world. Because Jesus, you said, bless your enemies. Teach us how, show us. May we take this message seriously, practically, or else we have become nothing more than forgetful hearers. And Lord, I know that you would desire more of us. Father, bless this church as they leave today. Bless them, fill them, protect them, watch over them. And Lord, may this church be on fire for you. May even our critics come to watch us burn for Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Godly Freedom. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that you take this message of love and put it into practice in your own life by loving each other as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A Godly Freedom. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light God's gospel of grace in a world that preaches a false gospel of works. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's an idea for Valentine's Day. We'd like to tell you about a resource that we think you're really going to like. It's the Real Marriage DVD set. It's a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a happy and God-honoring marriage. All led by our very own Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, Real Marriage brings you an honest, biblically-based conversation on the issues that married couples deal with on a daily basis. This DVD set is amazing for any married couple. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, we want to offer you the Real Marriage DVD set for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get your copy of the Real Marriage DVD set. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And by the way, you know we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.